The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during the supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything in his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper, took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it to his waist. Then he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand it later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew the one who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined again at table, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You called me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Holy Thursday. The first reading tonight talks about the meal of the ancient Israelites and how they were to celebrate that meal prior to their deliverance from slavery to the Pharaoh. This deliverance, this liberation of the ancient Israelites prefigures what Christ himself would bring about. Liberation from sin and redemption of humanity by his sacrifice on the cross. This is why we hear these readings today, because of this connection between the Old Testament and the New, because of the connection between the Jewish Passover and the new Christian Passover, the Holy Eucharist. The Old Testament reading today finds its definitive meaning in the Last Supper, the same meal we are celebrating tonight. We hear in the first reading that every family shall join the nearest household in procuring a lamb. We hear our many households come together, and we've procured a lamb, the Lamb, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And with the whole assembly of Israel present, it shall be slaughtered in the evening twilight. My brothers and sisters, we are the new Israel, assembled before the altar of God in the evening twilight, preparing for the sacrifice of the Lamb. the Lamb Jesus Christ, has given himself to be slaughtered willingly for our evening sacrifice, as he hands over his body and his blood for each of us. The first reading also says, they shall apply the lamb's blood to the doorposts and lintels, and that same night eat its roasted flesh. We shall shortly fulfill these prescriptions too, as we take the blood of Jesus, applying it to our lips, and eat the flesh of the lamb in the consecrated bread. And though this year we are unable to receive from the chalice, it is important to remember that even the smallest piece of the Eucharist is the fullness of Christ's body and blood, soul and divinity. Even the tiniest, tiniest morsel, the tiniest speck, is still the fullness of God himself. So even if we receive only the body, and this is true for any Mass, even if we receive only the host, we have received the totality of God. And this is one of the things we celebrate today. The institution of the Holy Eucharist. This is what animates the body of Christ throughout all of history. This is what animates each of us in our daily lives. We are told to eat this meal today and indeed every day with our loins girt, sandals on our feet, and our staff in hand. We shall eat like those who are in flight. This is a description of our Christian life in the world. Ready to flee at a moment's notice, to do the good in the world, to be of service in the world, but also ready for battle. Battle against the temptations of the world, against sin, against pride, against hatred, and a battle for love, for virtue, for truth, beauty, and goodness. And what's more is that these words also evoke the scene of the mandatum in today's gospel, the washing of the feet, the readiness for service to one another and to the world. Throughout the Gospels, St. Peter, our first pope, often gets a bad rap. If you pay attention to the scenes with him in it, he's constantly, denying Christ 3 times. He's forgetting essentially what Christ teaches him each and every time he's with him. Have you not yet learned, Peter? And then even today, he says, you will never wash my feet. Peter, again and again, never seems to get it. But let's not dismiss Peter. Even in his fallen state, even when he denies our Lord, there is hope and faith within him. I'm reminded of a scene from the movie Silence. It's about the persecution of Catholics in Japan. In this film, there's a man who greets the priest warmly, attends Mass, tries to be helpful, but then as soon as there's any sense of persecution, any sense of danger to himself, he immediately submits to the authorities and betrays the priests and his fellow Christians. He does this again and again and again, telling the authorities exactly where to find the priests, the other Christians, and even goes so far as to stomp many times on the image of our Lord. And yet, even for this man, he is welcomed back again and again and again. The same as Peter, because he has faith and he has hope in the Lord, hope in his death and resurrection, because there is mercy and love there. No matter how many times Peter denies our Lord, no matter how many times he just doesn't get it, no matter how many times he refuses to be served by Christ, there's always mercy and forgiveness. And for the man in the movie, no matter how many times he fails to live up to the Christian ideal, there's always mercy and forgiveness. Always. My brothers and sisters, the same is true for us. It doesn't matter how many times we've fallen. It doesn't matter how many times we've failed to live up to the expectations we've set for ourselves or that Christ has set for us. There is always mercy and forgiveness. But believe it or not, today's homily isn't about mercy and forgiveness. As good as it is, it's not about that. But instead, I want you to remember these two men, Peter and the man in the movie. These two very flawed men. No matter how many times they fall, they get back up and try again. Every Mass, every confession, every day is an opportunity to begin again, to start fresh with our Lord, and to try to become more like Christ in everything that we say and do and think. Very specifically, because he tells us in today's gospel, "I have given you a model to follow, so that I have done for you, you should also do." Normally I would end here, but I'm doing something a little different tonight. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to kind of move my homily a little bit where it needs to go. And a story came to mind as I was preaching right now. A story that's passed down from St. Jerome. He's the one who translated the Greek scriptures into the Latin for us. And it was official. Anyways, so in his notes on the translation, there's a story that he had discovered about St. John, the Blessed Apostle. And this story, the story is effectively the people that are in the church with St. John start to complain. And this is the beloved disciple. They start complaining about him because every time they bring him out to say something at one of their gatherings, so probably in a Mass, an early form of the Mass, or maybe just in a prayer group or something, all that he ever says, "My little ones, love one another. My little ones, love one another." That's it. And so they were complaining. It's like, "John, come on, like, don't you have anything else to say?" And John, by this time, is probably his 80s, 90s, like, he's old. And he says, he looks to them when they finally start complaining to him, when their complaints reach his ears. He looks to them and says, "If you do nothing else, that is enough. My little ones, love one another."